It's time.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time.
Time.
It's time. Time to think about the things that you otherwise wouldn't say. Lucky for us, these two will say anything.
Come on!
It's time for The Fawcast with Chris Williams and Mark Charter. The Fawcast is powered by Charterhouse Real Estate. Why pay 7% to list your home? Choose the flexible 5 or 6% plan for you at charterhouseiowa.com.
Hear more from Mark following this episode.
Listen very carefully.
Shall we do this then?
No, just take it one time.
An audio experience unlike any other starts now.
Podcast 130, I believe. I'm Chris. Of course, I'm here in the Charter House. Well, I guess I'm not. It's not an of course thing. We've been on location a lot lately. We're back in the old stomping grounds next to what do you call the massage parlor? The shady massage parlor?
The Yank Palace?
We're next to the Yank Palace here in high class Ankeny, Iowa. And no guests today. So, Mark, we've had...
We're going old school.
Yeah, well, we've had requests to kick it old school once in a while.
I think that so far we have been... we've done four episodes. Four?
Okay,
three.
So we did Murph, Bloom...
And then Kenny White?
No, Connolly.
Connolly, okay.
And Kenny White, yeah.
So we've done four episodes of version 2.0, and I think it's been well received.
Version or virgin?
Virgin. Version. It's been well received. I think we've gotten some good feedback. I think
the numbers are great, by the way. I haven't even shared
that's good
with you, but people seem to be liking
it. Ironically, though, some people have said, you know, they don't want us to do interviews all the time. And with, especially with Murph and Bloom, I didn't really consider those interviews. I think those guys are more co-hosts.
Those were conversations.
We're going to have conversations, so it may come out that way. Now, Kenny White was an interview, but an interesting one. And honestly, I think in the future, we'll have a lot more of those very, very interesting people. I've got ideas for certain people that I think would be fun to get on, but...
When are we going to get Belding on?
I think Belding's definitely possible. Yeah.
You know...
Jay Moore, feelers are out for Jay Moore, officially.
What's your connection to Jay Moore?
I have no connection to Jay Moore whatsoever.
Like a connection of a friend?
Our friend John Liebel thinks he can land Jay Moore for us.
That would be cool.
Jay Moore would be outstanding. I think Jay Moore is technically kind of unemployed right now. I think he's doing his own podcast from his kitchen. I saw a picture of him interviewing someone. It looked like he was in his bathroom in his kitchen while it was going on. So, because he lost the gig, the sports show. I don't think he does that anymore, does he? I mean, it's not here.
No, he's not on anymore.
So I think he is looking for the next avenue. But some people thought they're missing out on the old Fawcast, which is...
Shenanigans.
Which is this.
Yeah.
Which is us just sitting around
I got a lot
talking.
Of stuff to get off my chest today.
Guess what? I'm on week 5 of my cough. Still not gone.
Are you, like, what's wrong?
Nothing.
Have you gone to the doctor?
No, I don't go to the doctor.
This reminds me of the Seinfeld episode where Kramer has the really bad cough and he's walking down the street and he hears a dog cough.
Oh, it sounds just like it?
Just like his. Yeah. So he takes this dog. He convinces the person to let him take the dog to the vet.
Yeah.
And he starts taking the dog pills. And then by the end of the episode, he's full-blown acting like a dog. He's like panting.
I love that show.
It's phenomenal.
Did you get into Curb Your Enthusiasm or no?
Here's the problem. I was not an HBO kid.
Okay.
We didn't have HBO. So my knowledge of Curb is what was like on the reruns on cable later on in the day.
Edited.
Yeah. So like I'm about as big of a Seinfeld junkie as you can find.
Yeah.
But I never really have gotten into Curb, which is kind of disastrous, really.
You should try it. The unedited version is, I mean, it is Seinfeld pumped up on steroids. But the reason I bring it up is they've been off for a long time, years at this point. But I heard they're coming back. So Larry's going to be doing some
that
more episodes.
That sounds phenomenal.
It is the epitome of awkward. Like, every episode, he gets himself into a very awkward situation. And it's hysterical. And it's like, I've read about that show. They have a premise, but they don't really have a script. So, like, the lines they're saying are mostly, they're just trying them out on each other, et cetera.
Yeah.
It's not say this exactly, whatever. But it's one of the better shows I've ever seen. And
well, I've always
I'm glad
been,
it's coming back.
I've always been fascinated that the Larry David, I shouldn't say character, that's who he is.
Yeah. He plays himself.
George was based after him in Seinfeld. Did you know that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you watch that show, you can really see.
Yep. And Larry played Steinbrenner, didn't he?
On the episode. I think he did.
They never
showed
Steinbrenner. It was always from behind.
Yeah.
I think that was Larry David doing that, if I remember
right.
Good
stuff.
So for Curb fans, hey, it's coming back this fall. Not exactly sure when, but it is coming back.
That's fantastic. So we had I wanted to get your take on this.
Yeah.
I kind of touched on it on the radio on Wednesday, but we didn't have a lot of time to fully dissect it. So Bon Durant had its Summerfest this week.
Bit early, but okay.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
You got to time it out well.
That's how they roll.
Vacations
Bondo.
Coming.
Okay.
What is it anymore? Like, every teenage girl walking around that place, not every one of them. That's a too broad of a statement.
It's a blatant lie.
They dress like prostitutes.
Oh, jeez.
Seriously. Like, we all were commenting on it. Like, the whole group we were with, it's like, my God. Like, hey, Dad, did you see what your daughter walked out in tonight?
So we were talking about this.
So
before we started.
Where did this happen?
Like, Katie, who works here, Katie's 22. She's going to be 23. So she's barely out of her teen years. She just got back from a trip from Vegas and was commenting on high school girls at the pool, right? Now I'm going to tread lightly because I'm 38 years old. I shouldn't be talking about high school girls. But the fashion that they're wearing now.
My God.
She described them as bikini bottoms showing full butt cheek. Okay, we can all picture this.
Ugh.
Right? Now, you and I both have daughters.
Yes.
So the question becomes, are you going to be the dad that is literally trying to, assess your daughter's attire every day as she leaves? Or are you kind of like, whatever.
No,
she's 16 years old now.
We're assessing. A lot of assessing.
So you'll
going
be the
–
and Katie had chimed in before and said that she was the type that her dad would have said, turn your ass around and go get change.
I told Cameron on Tuesday night when we were getting on the merry-go-round.
Who's only two right now, by the way, right? 2 years old? She
yeah,
two?
Yeah.
Okay, so she's probably still dressing up.
But I told her if she ever dressed like that, then Daddy would give her a whooping.
Well, yeah, you might have to give your 17-year-old daughter a whooping. But hey, whatever.
Figuratively speaking, of course.
I don't know. Unfortunately, Katie can't chime in because Chris forgot to bring his third mic.
No, we'll work this out.
But
we'll get Katie's opinion here momentarily.
One thing I was saying, and I realize, again, treading on dangerous territory. I know we do have some females listening.
I think most of our female listeners would agree.
Are cool. They're hip to this.
These girls are dressing like, come on.
Now, a lot of
what
times,
kind of a world are we living in right now? You're not even started on this Tinder craze.
Oh, we can get to Tinder.
Oh,
but within the confines of a relationship or a marriage, a lot of times the women are going to say things like, obviously they want their man to be faithful. That goes without saying. And they'll say things like, stay out of trouble. Don't go to bad places like strip clubs come to mind or anywhere where, clubs, late night activity, et cetera.
I think that I think for a man it's worse to be at a club at midnight than a strip club. I mean,
it probably is. But my point is, anymore, if you go to really anywhere, Target, Jordan Creek, if you take your kids to the pool, you're getting a fiesta for the eyes everywhere you're going, right? And now women are going to say, leave me alone, I'm just dressing comfortably. And we're talking specifically about things like yoga pants that frankly leave nothing to the imagination.
Well, yeah.
If you go to the pool, you're going to see skimpy stuff all the time. Guys like to look. I'm one of those guys that says it how it is, okay? We like to look. Guys are extremely visual.
Visual creatures.
Hence why porn appeals to men. Surprise, surprise. We like porn. Why? Because it's visual. We can see something going on. So am I saying that women have to wear parkas when they go to Target? No. but at least be aware that when you wear certain things, you are causing men to look.
It's like that other Seinfeld episode where the gal is, she's the heir to the candy bar, to the, you know what I'm talking about? She's wearing the bra.
Yeah.
Down the street.
Yeah.
And there's the car wreck because Jerry's looking
it's
at
just a bra. She's got a skirt on and
yeah,
a bra.
Yeah, because Elaine gave it to her because she's a large-chested woman.
Yep.
And Elaine gave her a bra as a gift. Is like a passive-aggressive way to tell her to wear a bra because she wasn't wearing a bra around.
Yep.
And she took it as she was wearing it as a top.
Yeah.
And it caused a car wreck.
Yeah. She walked down the street confidently as well. Stupid cop. So, I don't know. What's your take on this? Specifically, you'd mentioned Tinder. We can get into that. But
We need to get into that. And that's where I want Katie's opinion.
Yoga pants epidemic. Are you on the side of fashion statement? Or workout attire should be used to work out in?
I know like how my wife uses the yoga pants, and she says it's because they're comfortable.
Of course.
I don't think when my wife wears yoga pants, she's like, oh, I want to turn my husband on tonight. I don't think it's anything like that. I don't believe that at all. I think she's doing it because they're like the new sweatpants, and they're a little more socially acceptable to wear out. You know, if you wear sweatpants to a movie theater, people are like, oh, come on.
You didn't try.
Yeah, give yourself. But if you wear yoga pants to a movie theater, you're like, oh.
And I think I've heard stories of this. I believe, you know, yoga pants aren't allowed in some high schools. I mean, I think it's considered inappropriate attire, which makes sense, frankly.
I don't think you should be able to wear yoga
15
pants.
15 to 18 year old
if
boys.
If you're 15 years old, I don't think you should wear yoga pants to high school. Wear blue jeans.
So Cammy will not be allowed to wear yoga pants to high school?
Absolutely not.
What about...
if she gets to college, if she wants to wear the yoga pants, she can wear the yoga pants. As long as she's living in my house.
What about Daisy Dukes? What about short denim shorts?
They got to go below the fingertips. If they go below the fingertips, yeah, see the shorts.
We're assessing Katie's outfit right now.
Katie, those don't look too risque, like, so I think you're fine.
So I think technically Daisy Dukes is probably, you can see a little bit of butt cheek, right?
Yeah.
A little bit? Yeah. And Katie has no butt cheek.
I mean, this one gal walking around in Bondurant the other night.
You could see it.
Oh, and yeah. There wasn't anything left of the imagination.
Now, was it one of these, like, all right, you know, I'm picking up what you're putting down. Or was it like shouldn't be wearing that type of attire?
Girl, I wasn't looking at her.
Oh, so
like,
this was the young girl.
Yeah, no, this was not a mom. Like,
okay.
This was, and I'm like, I'm like, man, cover yourself.
The father in you wanted to go up to her and say, you look slutty.
The father of me was like, you know, the message that you're sending off to these boys right now is like, come on.
Yeah.
Even if you're not intending to send that off, it's what you're sending off.
Now, do you picture, though, in a typical situation like that, the dad literally did not see the daughter leave home?
I don't know. I don't know who her dad was. I don't even know who this girl was.
Probably listening to the podcast right now.
Well, I mean, it's just like, I feel like we got a larger conversation here. I'm going to hand the microphone to Katie real quick.
Oh, my goodness.
I think you need to quiz her on this.
Quiz her on? I don't even know what I'm quizzing her on.
There you go, Katie.
She's got something to add. Yeah, she's looking at, like, how to put on a headset right now. Have you ever been on this?
No.
Well, introduce yourself to the crowd. You're part of Charter House. All you do is talk, by the way.
Okay.
She's nervous right now.
Why are you so nervous?
I'm not nervous.
There's nobody watching you but Chris and I. All right, who are you?
I'm Katie, and I work at Charter House.
How long have you worked here for?
Almost a year.
Can't believe it, can you?
I can believe it.
Gets better every day?
Yep.
Yeah. Should people buy or sell a house with me?
Absolutely.
That's why she's on here. All right, chime in on this. Okay, you're 22, almost 23, so you're not old, right? You still can dress young, quote unquote. What is your take on female fashion today?
Well, with the yoga pants, I say I wore yoga pants in high school, but I wore them appropriately.
So what does that mean, though? You had like a long shirt on or something, or like what does that mean?
Yeah, you didn't, like, you cover your butt. So leggings, like, there's a difference between yoga pants and workout leggings.
All right, here we go.
Yoga pants, you cover your butt. Workout leggings, they don't show as much.
Okay.
They don't show the shape?
Yeah. Okay. And all the things that nobody wants to see. The dimples, the cottage cheese, you know.
Oh, jeez.
Don't act like it's not there. 99% of
females.
Well,
not for the group that Chris is talking about. These young girls, they typically don't have that stuff yet. Maybe.
And then dad-wise, my dad would not have let me wear that. But there's a lot of dads that have no balls and they have no say in what their daughters wear because there's a fine line. So my dad didn't care about the fine line.
Yep.
Which is good. Yep. And I appreciate that.
Way to go, Joe.
But a lot of dads don't care or don't.
Do you think they don't
want
care?
To cross? No, I think they care, but they don't
they just,
care enough
they assume
to cause
mom,
that.
Mom's right. Cool with it, so they're not going to butt in.
Yep.
On fashion.
Yep.
So to speak. That makes sense to me. So I don't know. I tend to side with Chris on this. I cannot envision my daughter leaving the house looking. Let's face it, we're calling it slutty, and I think that doesn't mean they're slut. I'm going to clarify.
Yeah.
Looking slutty does not mean you're a slut. It just means you look slutty.
Yep.
Your dad raised you well.
Yeah.
Nice Charterhouse t-shirt, by the way.
Thanks.
Yeah. We'll bring her back on here in a minute.
Okay. She's coming back on, apparently.
We're going to get her back on for the Tinder conversation.
Oh, great.
So my producer, Trey, at KXNO, young guy, he's actually probably – he's 23, so he's Katie's age. And he comes up to me after Tuesday's show, and he's like, dude, check out this girl who just matched me on Tinder.
Okay.
Very nice-looking young woman.
Now, was she real? Because I
don't know.
I think most people are aware of Tinder, but a lot of those dating apps, sometimes you get people that aren't here. They're not local. It's like meant to get you to click on something.
I don't know how real she was, who she was. I don't know anything about her. But he's like, he comes to me for advice, wanting to know what he should write to her.
Jeez. What was his intention?
What do you mean, what was his intention?
Does he want to get laid or does he want to have a girlfriend?
Probably both, to a girl this good looking.
And Tinder brings up a whole other point. And this will make me sound old, and I get it, and I'm okay with it.
What?
There has been such a massive shift from the time that I was even 22, okay, Katie's age, which was 16 years ago, to today, where obviously there was no Tinder. There was no... any of the apps, Bumble.
Yeah, you had
I think
to like,
is another one.
Remember back in the day when you had to call a girl's house and you're like, oh, I hope her dad doesn't pick up the phone.
I remember very specifically. I don't remember because I talked to my wife. We met in high school and I talked to her in person. I saw her at a party and I was drunk, but I manned
Wait
up.
Wait a second. Time out.
Yeah.
You drank underage?
I did. Yeah. Yeah. But I talked to her. I went up and was drunk and said, hey, let's hang out. And she said, I'm going to Okoboji for the weekend. I said, all right, when you get back, give me a call. Come on over. And she did. But I do remember very specifically there was a girl named Sarah Bappy that Wait. I asked out before Kate.
This is an old high school flame?
Not even a flame, no. But I very vividly remember. I remember the room I was in our house. I remember looking up her number in the phone book. Know what a phone book is? Okay, yeah. We used to have those.
Wait a second. It's like a book?
A book with the phone numbers
like
on it.
Like actual paper?
It's totally crazy, right? And I did the seven-digit, no, it would have been a six-digit dial probably 15 times and couldn't get myself to hit the last digit. Finally powered through that. I think I got her mom on the phone. I said, hi, can I speak to Sarah, please? And she got on, and I said, hey. Very awkwardly asked her out, and she said yes. And that ended in nothing. I think we went out once. So that was I remember that very vividly. But here's the larger point. And I think Katie might agree to this, and she's sure can if she wants to. Back in those days, again sounding old, I think there was zero expectation. Even if you're in college, I think there was zero expectation of going out with a girl you just met for the first date that you were going to get any type of sexual act.
Like
maybe a kiss. Maybe a kiss.
What about holding her hand?
Holding her hand.
Is that a
kiss,
sexual act?
A hug? None of those are a sexual act.
Okay.
I think there was no expectation of that. Now, a guy might say, man, I hope it happens, but they weren't actually physically expecting that to happen. Today, on Tinder, if you go out with a girl... Frankly, you're probably thinking if you take her out to a good dinner, at a minimum, you're going to get a BJ. At a minimum. And you've only known this woman for 2-3 hours at this point. And if you're real good and behave yourself on the date.
Do that on like the first date?
Well, I can't chime in. But beyond that, sex? Is sex on the menu? We're talking full intercourse here. Is that on the menu for your first date mere hours after you've met this person for the first time? It absolutely is. There's no question about it.
So is this like a downfall of society? What are we talking
about? Well, it depends on your position. You know, if you're in the mood to get laid, it's fantastic. But this whole, like, the notion of courting and getting to know somebody, these apps have destroyed that. You don't go on these apps for those things.
Yeah.
Maybe Match.com you do, or some of these other things. eHarmony. Katie's nodding in agreement, by the way, with everything that I've said. So it's literally like, and I don't know why. Obviously, at some point, we decided sex wasn't a big deal. That's what we decided at some point as a society, especially younger people. They don't care. There's no emotional attachment. There can't be for a guy that just bought you dinner and you just met him. I think the standard is, do I find you attractive?
Well, that's what Tinder is based on.
Yeah. So you already find each other attractive, right? Okay. Do I want to get some tonight? And if the answer for both parties is yes, then you go do it. And you hope the other person's clean. So you have that discussion beforehand.
See,
you don't have anything, right? No. Do I look like I have anything? Yeah. No. You look pretty clean to
me. There's no crabs here.
Let's go. You know, and that's where we are.
This is where I think I gave him bad advice. Because I didn't fully understand the goals of folks who are on Tinder.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, this is a big opportunity for you.
The goal is sex, right? Sex. That's the goal.
Well, okay. I thought he was trying to date the young lady.
Okay.
And I told him to tell her to write her back and be like, wow, you're one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen. I would really...
Okay.
And he wrote this. He writes to her. He goes, I would really love the honor to take you out for dinner.
Wow.
I thought that was a really classy...
Way classier than it needed to be.
I thought it was a way classy way for him to introduce himself to this young woman.
Okay.
Okay. Katie, get over here.
Katie, so here's what we're going to ask Katie.
Yeah. Now, where
now,
did
let's
we
keep
go
in mind.
Wrong?
Let's keep in mind for a second. Katie's not single. She just got engaged.
Oh, she just got engaged?
Look at her finger, dude.
Wow. High five.
Congratulations,
congrats,
by the way.
Thanks.
So Katie's engaged to Travis. But so let's get right to the point. So you've matched with somebody on Tinder. Does it even matter what you say at that point? Chris is giving advice on how to do it, how to contact this person.
That was my advice.
But I think it would be as simple as, do you want to have dinner tomorrow at 8? And
yep.
Leave it at that. Am I wrong?
No.
Like, what? Let's assume you are single. What would you want a guy to say to you on an app like that?
If I was single and I was on Tinder, I'm on Tinder for a reason. Everybody knows what Tinder is for, and it is not for...
It's not for relationships.
No.
For
now, something nice can turn dinner into a relationship, and somebody might have hopes, but it's you're on there for one reason.
Now, why do you think... That I'm classifying as young people. I'm 38, so I'm older, but I'm going to classify it as young people because I don't think a lot of 50-year-olds, et cetera, are on Tinder. Why do you think people want to hook up so badly? When did that become a thing? Because it is a thing.
I don't know.
Is it boredom? Is it like what is it about? I don't really need to know you very well to do something that used to take forever to build up to.
I don't know. I think it's just society. Everything makes that.
We're over-sexualized at this point?
I mean, I don't know. I seriously feel like everything in society leads to that. So I went to high school in a small school. It wasn't like that where I went, but I dated a boy that went to Southeast Polk, and that's all it was.
So he
nothing against Southeast Polk.
Getting your pants all the time, basically.
Yeah, that's just what they did. They all slept with each other. It was just a big friend sleeping party without sleeping.
Man, it's so different compared. Where did you go to school?
I went to school in Knoxville.
Okay. So I went in Clarinda, which is you're 3A, I was 2A, so fairly similar.
And I think parents, too. Parents have a big say in that because my parents knew what I was doing. I always had a curfew, even after I graduated high school, and they didn't care what I was doing. I was going to be home at curfew. There was no arguing. There was no talking about it. And if I was spending the night, they had already talked to the parents
so
where I was spending.
Let's give some Tinder tips to our male audience, okay? So what was wrong about the advice that I gave my producer, Trey?
Trying too hard. Don't say, like, honor. That's weird. Girls instantly go, okay, creepy, weird.
See, I thought it'd be like, oh, the girls used to getting like, oh, show me dad ass, girl. And she'd be like, oh, well, this is refreshing. This is an honorable young man wanting to take me out to a nice dinner. Absolutely. I would love the honor as well. I thought that's how this would go.
I don't know. If somebody said that to me, I'd just be like, okay, he's trying too hard. All right, next. On to the next.
Wow.
Especially if she's that pretty. Like, if she's that pretty and she's on Tinder, there's a reason she's single, number one, if she's that pretty.
Okay.
Or she's fake. Just using a picture that's not hers.
So you don't think it's probably her.
Well, it could be her.
He said that he had connections with this girl via Facebook. They like mutual friends. So he thought she was real.
That's good.
He looked into it, I guess. So what do you say? What's a good pickup line for a guy on Tinder? You make the match. What do you say to him?
I don't know. Find a really funny pickup line that's going to make him laugh.
Okay.
Otherwise, don't try too hard. Just, yeah, like what Mark said, just get right to the point. Do you want to go to dinner tomorrow date? Leave it at that. Simple.
Okay. I was looking for a little bit more.
I don't have a lot of advice. I never Tindered.
Chris screwed up my headset.
No, I wore it how it's supposed to be.
I'm a right side mic guy. You're a left side. I was switching around.
Katie's too wholesome of a girl. That's a good thing for her.
See, but so here's the funny thing. Katie's the opposite of the Tinder generation in that she's 22 and was, frankly, eager to settle down. I mean, she's young, really young, to be engaged by today's standards.
Yeah.
No question about it. How many people do you know that are in their 30s that aren't married yet?
A lot.
Never been married, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some of them don't seem like they're trying all that hard to find somebody. And the whole, if you can get the milk for free, why buy the cow? That's what Tinder does. You don't have to work hard for it. So unless you're having trouble getting laid, then, you know, that's a whole other thing. I don't know. Did I tell you? I've told you before I was on Tinder and got busted within like 12 hours.
So what happened to that? Like, why were you on Tinder? Wasn't this like a big joke that your
It was a joke, and not to go down this road again, but a mutual friend of ours that shall remain nameless was on there and was having success making matches and stuff. And my wife and I were with him at the time, we were witnessing this, and I said, well, screw that, I'm going to get on Tinder. So I started a profile, which takes 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Linked it to my Facebook, put a picture up there. And once you've done that, then you can start scrolling through to see who else is on Tinder, which is frankly part of the fun, just to see who else is out there, right? I did not make a match with anybody, so I think you swipe right if you like them, left if you don't. So I swiped left on everybody, so I wasn't actually physically making matches with people. But very shortly after that, my wife gets a Facebook message from a friend from high school that she barely even knows. Doesn't even really know this girl. Not a best friend, nothing like that.
Your husband's cheating on you.
Didn't say that, but I, you know, it was more along the lines of this might be awkward, but I just wanted to let you know that I saw your husband on Tinder and wanted you to know. Now, is that a good move on that person's part? Maybe. I mean, girls got to look out for each other.
Yeah, I feel like that's an upstanding move. I think that's a good move.
So the girl probably thought Katie was totally lying because Katie responds and says, you know, I know he's on there. We did it together. You know, no big deal. Well, that's what someone would say probably that didn't know their husband was on there, just to kind of save face. So she's probably like, yeah, right, you knew. So I quickly deleted that and got the hell out of there. But it was an interesting social experiment that went horribly wrong very quickly.
Oh, man. Good stuff.
It is.
Stansberry's on the Tinder.
So obviously him and his old fling are done. Right?
I believe so. I mean, I don't talk to him about his personal life very often.
I feel bad because I thought we had hooked up a Fawcast marriage.
Remember? Let me read you a tweet that Jared sent out last night.
That sounded be good.
Well, hold on. There's a bunch of... Oh, okay. So he retweeted the segment where Ross and I were giving Trey advice.
Okay.
And Jared said, what do I have to do to get this kind of advice? We need a Tinder roundtable.
I don't know that you... I think Katie hit the nail on the head,
Just
though.
Don't overthink it.
I don't think you need any Tinder advice.
Dude, all I know, after having that conversation, after listening to Katie today, if I were ever single, I'd be in no man's land. I mean, I'd be screwed. I can't navigate through all this.
I don't think you really don't have to, though. That's the brilliant that's the brilliance of an app like Tinder. I mean, the hardest part of starting a relationship, or at least it used to be, was you're sitting there thinking to yourself, man, she's pretty. I wish I could tell her that she's pretty, and maybe she likes me too.
Now the app will just take care of that for you.
By swiping right, you've told her that she's pretty. It's
or you're just doing that to.
It's incredibly simple.
You're casting a wider net.
You simply don't swipe a direction if you're not physically attracted to them, and at that point, that's all you can be, is physically attracted to them. If you started from that point, you can go on a couple miserable dates because you're still attracted to them. Now, they might say things that make you less attracted. Have you had that before in your life? Man, I have before. I'm not even talking relationships at this point. Have you ever had a female, like, in your life where maybe you thought when you first met her, man, she's really attractive?
And then met her.
And then the more that she says, you're like, oh, my God, I do not find this person attractive at all. Nothing about them has changed physically. You're just like, I just hate everything they say. Yeah.
Yeah, I know girls like that.
Yeah, that's happened before.
Quite a few of them, actually.
You know, you went from an 8 to like a 3 just based on one conversation. So that certainly happens. So no. For people listening, by the way, tweet at us. Tweet at the podcast if you've got a good Tinder tip.
Oh, I'm sure that there
are. Or a story. There's got to be some of our listeners out there that are actively using Tinder. And feel free to disagree with me. Is it that hard to get laid? I don't think it is. I'm just saying, you know, if someone comes on and is like, I've tried with 10 girls and they all said no, then, you know.
That's probably a you problem.
That's probably a you problem.
Did you watch the NBA Finals at all?
All of it. All of it, by the way.
Do you like the Warriors? I thought I saw you tweeting about how you liked the Warriors the other day.
I don't recall tweeting that, but I do like
on Facebook or.
I do like the Warriors. I do think.
See, I don't. This could be good.
I do think that.
Don't you think Kevin Durant's acted like a little bitch? I'm not saying it was.
I came away not liking his mom, by the way. Did you watch the post game? Like when they were giving doing interviews?
I saw his mom on ESPN the day after.
She's like grabbing him by his goatee. Like he's got that little wizard goatee.
Yeah.
And she's like pulling him down towards her because she's short and he's like 7 feet tall. And she's like, we did it. We did it. You know, all this stuff. She's very in his face. And obviously they have a good relationship. You can tell from that. But it's kind of like, you're his mom. Like, get out of the spotlight. She's like right next to him when Doris Burke is interviewing him.
Weird that she kept going on like First Take and stuff like that. Have we ever seen another mom in sports do that?
No, she's like well known, I guess. But
He wrote that like letter to her that was a big deal a few years ago on Mother's Day.
I don't think this is my perspective, and a lot of people will throw in the LeBron take here, which is fine. I think the best all around player in the NBA is Kevin Durant. Defense,
I disagree.
Shooting, inside game, can take any shot at any time.
I think
came
LeBron's
up clutch.
Better.
I just don't. There might be one area of LeBron's game that he's better in, and that'd be passing. But that's about it. He's not better at threes. I don't think he's better inside. I don't think he's definitely not a better shooter than Durant.
Let me ask you this. So you think that the Cavs would be better with Durant than LeBron?
I think they'd probably be equal because it's still about supporting cast. I mean, it's a team.
Well, absolutely, and that's why. I mean, you weren't saying this about Durant last year.
He didn't play like the best player last year. I think he has
that's
become.
That's my point about that supporting
I think
cast.
He's become the best player.
When you have three Hall of Famers next to you,
it helps certainly.
Yeah,
but I mean, Durant made a lot of big shots. You can't deny.
No,
that.
I'm not denying that at all. I think that in that series he was the best player in the world. I still think LeBron is the best player in the world, if that makes sense.
What I find, and obviously they didn't have Durant last year. The series was a little different.
Draymond was out.
Yeah, I find it somewhat shocking that the Warriors didn't win it last year, especially in game 7.
You
gotta
remember how
they scored 89 points
Steph
in game 7.
Steph was dinged up, too.
Yeah, and I mean, they were lacking in a couple areas. But does the NBA have a problem right now in that – at times, and especially a couple times in this series, game 6, game 7, or game 4 and 5 in this series, that it looks a little bit too easy? Are the scores getting too high? I mean, the shooting was insane in the series, shot after shot.
What do you recommend?
Well,
bringing back hand checking?
No. Fouls shouldn't. There shouldn't be more fouls. There's no way. In game four, what did they shoot? 24 free throws in the first quarter.
Was
the
game
shot?
Four not one of the great like games to just sit down and enjoy?
If you had money on the Cavs, it was. Yeah.
Perhaps. I did.
What if I had it on the Warriors? No.
I had so much fun, man. My neighbor, he has a TV out on his like its back patio and stuff. And we sat out there and drank bourbon and watched that game.
Yeah.
Because there's like a damn near fight breaking out every five minutes. It was phenomenal.
It was entertaining basketball, no question about it. I think the NBA is flawed in a couple ways. And any league can make rule changes to affect scoring. Any of them can. And the NBA has done some of that with the legal defense. They changed that so there would be more scoring, obviously. I think they call way too many ticky-tack fouls in the NBA. Just nudges. Nothing major. Just bumps that they call fouls. I cannot stand the foul call on a three-pointer when you get the guy in the air,
mm-hmm.
and then you diagonally
jump into him.
Yeah, they need to get rid of that. That shouldn't be part of the game at all.
I mean, that's like the Marcus Smart special.
I hate it. Well, flopping in general is horrible in the NBA. I mean, so it was a very entertaining series.
It was the highest-rated series since Jordan versus the Jazz.
So my understanding is
people love dynasties if they want to admit it or not.
Does LeBron have one more year in Cleveland?
Yeah, and then he's probably gone, it sounds like.
So basically, this is the finals next year.
Oh, yeah.
There's no question about it, right? Unless there's a major injury.
Well, here's what I think is interesting is what the Cavs will do and what they can do.
Because they're leaps and bounds above anybody else in the East. I don't think it's even
close. Yeah, but Boston, you know, they have the number one pick.
Who will play immediately,
yeah.
obviously.
And then they've also, it sounds like they're going to get the guy from the Jazz. What's that guy's name?
Who?
Hayward from the Jazz.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Good shooter.
So, I mean, if you do that plus the number one pick, I mean, who knows? Like, I think the Cavs have to make a move, honestly.
Do they lose anybody?
It sounds like they're probably going to trade Love for either, like, a Paul George or Carmelo type. Mm-hmm. Here's the deal. Like, can you imagine, though, how good Carmelo would be if he's next to LeBron and Kyrie?
Are you a Carmelo fan?
No. I don't think anybody's a Carmelo fan. But he's played on terrible teams his whole career, much to his doing. Like, it's his fault.
Well, he chases the money.
Yeah, it's been his fault that he's played on these terrible teams. But could you imagine how good he could be, even at his older age, if he's next to LeBron and Kyrie?
Yeah. I mean, as long as they have LeBron,
I still think the Warriors
they're
going to
be good.
I mean, the Warriors would still be favored if they get Melo.
Oh, there's no question.
But that would be interesting.
I mean, the Warriors, in my opinion, already have it wrapped up. That kind of sucks if you're one of those fans that.
Dude, did you see the Vegas odds?
They're heavily in favor of the Warriors.
Yeah. No, they are, according to ESPN Stats and Info, the highest. The largest favorite heading into a season in the history of American sports.
I mean,
you can't even get even money on them right now.
That makes total sense to me because they should win it. There's no reason that they shouldn't win it, barring injury. Let me ask you this too, before we gotta go, because it was released, and I know I don't know if you're a big boxing guy or a big MMA. I know we watched the Party of the Cinch.
We had the Party of the Cinch, of course.
Was at your place?
Yeah.
So the big news.
My wife has said no way part two happens.
We can have it at my house. It's fine. So Mayweather McGregor is happening.
Yes.
In August.
August 26th.
I was having this debate in the Vegas text group yesterday about the outcome of this fight. Okay. Let me lay out my theory. I don't think it'll be close. And by close, I mean I don't think at any point will Mayweather be in danger of losing, etc.
Okay.
Here's my case. 49-0.
Did you see the odds on this, by the way?
Yeah, it's about 7-1 against McGregor. 7-1.
You have to bet minus 1,100 to bet Floyd.
Yeah. So here's the deal, and I have friends that disagree with this. Okay, and I'll give you their argument too. My argument is simple: Floyd is 49-0 against trained boxers, the best in the world. Right? Out of those fights, do you know how many times he's been knocked down in his career?
One or two.
Once.
Yeah.
Knocked down once. Okay. He's going up against a guy, fine, he's got a powerful punch, etc. The guy spends his time training for all sorts of different things.
Correct.
Not one skill.
Yeah.
10, right? Choke holds and all this stuff that has no bearing on a boxing match. I don't think it'll be close at all. The counter argument was, all he has to do is land one punch, etc. I don't know if he'll do that, though.
That is, and that's just true in boxing in general. I mean,
but nobody has landed
Buster
that
Douglas.
One punch
yeah,
on him.
Correct.
So
the only thing he could hope for, I feel like McGregor can, is that Floyd's past his prime and overlooks him.
Which, you know, it's going to hurt his legacy if some guy that's not a boxer comes in and beats him. So I think he's going to be ready for this fight. What do you think is going to happen? It's going to be the fight of the summer. Make a ton of money. Everyone's going to be watching it. Does McGregor have a chance? Other than 1%. Like 1% chance. Everybody has that.
Yeah, I mean, I think he does.
What is
I don't think he'll win. I think he has – to say he doesn't have a chance, though, would be – that's going too strong.
Well, it's like – it's the Buster Douglas
yeah, I
argument.
Mean, he could catch him. I mean, well, here's the deal. He has to knock him out, though. If that goes to a decision, there's no way a bunch of boxing judges are going to
– give it to
– give the McGregor. MMA guy.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I think it's incredibly slim. I think that Mayweather will win. I think it'll be like a classic Mayweather fight where it seems boring when you're done with it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, to say he has no chance, I mean, that it's a very slim chance.
I don't see it being a draw, so to speak. Meaning, I don't see it going the distance without some type of a knockout.
Are you excited to watch it?
You know, it'll be a big story.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for that.
Me too.
I'd be more excited for the buildup.
Yeah.
The press conference before.
Oh my God!
All of that.
Great.
If you haven't watched, by the way, if you're listening and have no idea what we're talking about, watch some Conor McGregor press conferences leading up to his fights.
Oh my.
The guy's a pro smack talker.
It's going to be epic. And like Floyd's posse and stuff when you get those guys around.
Place your bets now. Will we or will we not see the Burger King walking out to the ring before this thing, dude? Will it happen?
Oh, wait. But wasn't that with – was that with Floyd or was that with Pacquiao?
That was – I think that was
or
Floyd.
And Jimmy Kimmel was with Pacquiao.
Bieber was there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Biebs was there.
But it's brilliant on Burger King's part, dude, putting that guy
phenomenal.
In the middle of an event like that. I loved it. I bet we'll see the Burger King.
Before we get into your real estate segment, I actually have a real estate question for you.
Yeah, you bet.
Interest rates.
Correct.
We got news yesterday from the feds that they're raising interest rates.
Yeah.
How does this affect buyers and sellers? Does it affect buyers and sellers? Yeah.
So you got to look at it from a historical. You hear that buzz? I'm sure people are hearing it at home.
I don't think they actually can.
So to talk about interest rates very briefly, you've got to look at it from a historical perspective. Okay, I've been doing this since 2005. I don't think within that time period, maybe rates were at 6 at some point, but we've seen 3s, which are more rare. But even recently, I saw 3.875 on a 30-year. 3s, 4s, and 5s, okay? Historically, if you go back a long time, the average rate is still around 9%, okay? Our parents, my parents, when they were buying homes, they were in the teens.
Yeah.
Think about that today.
I remember my dad telling me that once. He had like a 14% on when they bought his house.
So here's the simple analogy I would give to a buyer. Here's the reason why you buy when a rate's lower. Because a lot of people think interest rates, what the hell does that mean? You know. So let me put it in real world terms. If the rate moves 1 point, so it goes from 4% to 5%. Assume you see a house at $200,000 that you really want and you could afford it at 4%. Like, I can go buy that $200,000 house today. And then you wait a day, okay? And then the rates jump to 5%. What does that do to you? Instead of being able to afford $200,000, now you can only afford $180,000. It's a 10% difference in house price when the rate goes 1% higher or lower. So it's a huge, massive difference. If you start to get up, you know, $400,000, that's a $40,000 difference in house. And when you start talking about $20,000 to $40,000 differences in homes, you start talking about major differences. So the kitchen doesn't have granite. It's not brand new. It's whatever. So the buying and selling is a good thing when rates are low. You get a cheaper house when you buy low, and it's easier to find buyers when you're selling at low rates. When the rates go up, it gets more difficult for everybody. So that's why we've been blessed to have these low rates.
Well, in 2008
for so long.
Gave us that, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, the financial collapse, et cetera, we saw lending restrictions tighten. It was tougher to get loans. Before that, they were giving loans to anybody.
Yeah.
Anybody and everybody.
It was basically the bank's fault. We had a bunch of idiots out there.
The joke was the mirror test. If you'd go in and apply for a loan at a bank, they would hold up a mirror, and if you fogged it, you got a loan
because
you were breathing.
Yeah.
And we had all sorts of stuff. I remember vividly over in Bonnaran and Altoona and places, you'd see stuff like, what they'd call like 3-2-1 buy downs and ARMs, adjustable rate mortgages, and all this stuff, which was designed to get people that could not afford a home into the home. Okay, and what happens is eventually, 3, 4, 5 years down the road, their rates bump way up.
Yeah.
Okay, it resets at a different rate, or they have to pay back what they haven't been paying. And that's where you saw a lot of that foreclosure problem that we went through. Yeah. Because suddenly, overnight, my payment went up $500 a month. I can't afford that. I can't pay it. So what happened? Foreclosures. So they got rid of a lot of that crap. And now they make sure that they check your assets, they check your income, they check your credit. They're a lot more careful than they were now.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're one of those guys that's waiting on rates, stop waiting. I mean, the rates are ridiculously low.
They still are. I mean, it only went up yesterday like 0.25, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you're buying a house under 5%, you're getting a great rate, regardless of anybody tells you. Go talk to someone that's old, and they're going to say, I bought my house at 13%, or I bought it at 10%, and you're getting it under 5. So, yeah. And a lot of people try to time the market. Good luck with that.
Yeah. I mean, if it was that easy.
If you're smart enough to time the market, then you should be making a lot of money.
Well, it's like anything in the stock market, too. It's like you can read Yahoo Finance, you could read the Wall Street, but like anything that's like really difference changing, the sharps and in New York and sitting there on Wall Street know a day before you do.
I know of a few people in the movie The Big Short. Have you seen that, by the way?
No.
You would love it. It's all about what led up to the crisis.
Oh, okay. I would love that.
Steve Carell is in it. Ryan Gosling. It's really good, and it's on Netflix. If you don't have Netflix, you can borrow my password to watch it. It's a really,
That's
really
illegal.
Good movie. I'm fine with it. But it's all about that. My point was all the people that did not see that bubble bursting, all the smart financial people that didn't see it coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
People in our government, et cetera. You can't plan rates out. You just can't. So buy now, sell now. Rates won't affect you at all. See you, Katie.
And it'll be years again before we see a significant rate hike, I would think, based off of all the reading I've done.
I mean, based
I think they're going to keep nickel and diming us.
Based on inflation, et cetera, if you simply let the market do what it naturally is going to do, rates have to go up. So you've seen a lot of the government somewhat artificially keeping it down.
Yeah.
But what happens when people buy homes? Then they go and they fill their homes with stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Got the new home, now I'm going to go get the new car. Right? Or I'm going to get the equity loan to do something. Now the bank has made money. When people buy homes, the economy thrives. When people aren't buying homes, it doesn't. So the government is incentivized to keep the rates attractive so it keeps this machine running. If no one's buying it, then a lot of people, your furniture makers, your home decor people, your lawn people, everybody associated with a home and what you put in it struggles. Because of that.
That's good. That's fascinating.
Yeah. So that's my take.
All right. That's some real world blank right there.
Sure is.
We got more. I hope you enjoyed Katie's advice for Tinder. We were kind of all over the place today.
Tweet at us.
Yeah.
If you got a
good,
Tinder story.
Good Tinder stories. We need to get Stansberry on to talk about Tinder someday.
Oh, man.
That'll be fun. More real estate talk here from the Mark Charter.
Hey, everybody. Hope that podcast went well for you. I pre-record these, so I don't know how it went, but I assume it was awesome. Mark here again talking a little bit about real estate. Today, I want to talk about how to pick a great agent. There are a lot of agents out there. Let's face it. In the Des Moines area where I am, there's roughly 2,000, maybe even more. That's the Des Moines metro area. That's full-time. That's part-time. That's everybody. When I talk about being in the top 10 or very close to the top 10 in sales, I'm talking about out of those 2,000 people. So it is a big group of agents, but how do you pick from those agents? What are some key things to look for when you're choosing an agent to list your house? Well, honestly, hopefully you're calling me and you don't have to think about it. But if you're not, for whatever reason, or you're outside our area, what are some ways to pick that great agent? I'm going to start with this, guys. Google is your best friend. You have to Google the agent that you're looking to work with. And what I mean by that is simply put in their name. As an example, if you Google Mark Charter, you're going to find stuff about me on the first page. If you Google your agent, especially if they don't have a common name, and you don't see things on that first page about them, I would start to question how much they market, how relevant they are. You might have to put in their brokerage name. So, Clay Thompson sells for Golden State Real Estate. Put that in. See what comes up. If there's not a lot there, guys, move on.
simply choose a different agent, because that agent isn't relevant in the market space. They're not making any dents. Nobody knows about them. So start there. The second one would be reviews. Reviews are crucial. All right. And there's a lot of places you can look for reviews. Not a big fan of Yelp, but that's one, because Yelp filters their reviews heavily. They think most of them are fake, and then they try to get you to pay them to actually post reviews for you, and that's not good. But Yelp is out there. Angie's List is a good space. Zillow and Trulia both have reviews. Google, like if you Google my name, you'll see my business page, and there's Google reviews right there. Facebook business page reviews. There's a lot of places that you can look, guys, and you want a well-reviewed agent. We're at, I don't even know the number. I think it's around 150 or so five-star reviews. There's no negative reviews about us out there because we do things the right way, but you want a lot of really good reviews about the agent, and read a few of them. What are they saying? If they're saying things like, if they're very short and really don't say much, that doesn't tell you a lot. But if they say, the agent treated us like family and they were honest with us and they helped us out of a bind, that's the type of agent you want to work with. If they aren't saying those things, keep looking. Another thing too, you can check with the Better Business Bureau. We have an A+ rating on the BBB. That's a way to tell, is the business doing things the right way, et cetera. But basically, if you do all three of those, if you Google your agent, if you search for their reviews, if you do a business search for them, you're likely going to find somebody that's pretty good. But do your homework. The other thing is, feel free to interview more than one agent when you're listing your house. Ideally, three, because what you're going to get is agents that are going to tell you maybe a different commission. They're going to tell you a different marketing strategy. And my gut feel is that you will walk away knowing which one that you're going to want to work with because you built a rapport with that agent. Some agents come off as very agent-y. They're going to tell you, they're kind of going to go through the sales book with you, so to speak. That's not how we do it. We're more off the cuff and casual. But usually when we walk away, we feel like we've made a connection, made a friendship with that client. And usually we get the listing because they feel very comfortable with us and realize that we're not into pressure sales and we're going to be there for them. But interview three agents, get a comfort feeling, but only after you've checked them out on some of the steps that I suggested. All right, guys, that's it. We'll be back next week. And again, remember, you can work with Charterhouse Iowa no matter where you live in the country. If you need to buy or sell a house, we'd be happy to refer you to a great agent in your area. We can help you find one. And again, they pay us when we do that. So it is a way to help Charterhouse Iowa and help us to continue to support Cyclone Fanatic as well. All right, guys, we'll see you next week.